I want to just read again two verses that we've already had before us, and then tie them into the book of Amos, which is something that mentions Nazariteship, but we didn't talk about it at length. And it hopefully won't take too long either. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. I'll just read the whole section. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, and not from us. And then Psalm 23. Starting at verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then one more verse in the book of James, chapter 4. Verse 17. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And we'll look at Amos in a moment. It's a little scary being up here and talking. As you guys know, we've already gone. And for those of you who participated in the Bible study or gave out a hymn or prayed, you know that there's that scary, nervous feeling that you sometimes get. Not always, but you know it can be scary to take part in a Bible study and to feel the Spirit of God leading you to do something. That can be in your private life too, making the decision to go to a college, to take this job or that job. For some people, making the decision to get married. Those are scary decisions. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is something that I've been convicted of, specifically at this conference. And maybe some of you have as well, that is probably the most scary thing we have to do as Christians, and that is speaking the gospel. 3 years ago, I was here at Spruce Lake, and we took up James, and I was convicted at that time of needing to put away certain things that lead you towards sin. I just graduated from high school, and I had gotten some movies that my parents got for me. Speaking of, you know, Samson and his parents going along with things, they're not necessarily bad movies, and I enjoyed them, but they started to have an influence on me. It was a big series of DVDs from a TV series, so there were plenty of them to watch, and they took up a big part of my life, and they changed my thinking about certain things. And so I came back from Spruce Lake, and I knew I had to get rid of that, and that was the last time that I even looked at those. But this Spruce Lake, I've been convicted of something, and that is to speak the gospel, to preach the gospel to unbelievers. And this is a meeting on the schedule for ministry and for the gospel. And I'm never going to forget Some of you know Brother Diego Lalumia. He was at Kankakee Conference maybe 2 years ago, and we had a gospel meeting where it was supposed to be preaching the gospel to the unsaved at the conference. But instead, he gets up and he teaches us how to speak the gospel, which was great. Then someone else gave a quick gospel message after that. But what I want to talk to you about now is that verse in James. If you know to do something that's good and you don't do it, then that's sin. And that's part of Nazariteship. Nazariteship is not just knowing what is bad and not doing it. It's also knowing what's good and doing that. If you look at Amos, and we'll start reading a few verses from there so you can turn to the book. Amos is a prophet, as I understand it, he's during the time of the divided kingdom, and he is a prophet in the northern 10 tribes. The 10 tribes had split off from Judah and Benjamin, and for political reasons after the death of Solomon. But they had started to set up their own ways of doing things. Specifically, God had said that the Israelites were to worship at the temple. That was where his name was. That was where his testimony was. That was where the law told them to go and give their sacrifices. There was no other place except the tabernacle and then later the temple, which Solomon had built. The 10 tribes, the king decided that if we keep letting people go to Jerusalem, then this division might not last very long. Also, it's very inconvenient for people to make this journey to Jerusalem every year. So instead, they set up a different altar. And they set it up at Bethel, if I'm not mistaken. Bethel, you know, is the house of God. It has a religious significance in the history of Israel. So they figured this would be a good place to set up an altar for the 10 tribes to go to, because it was closer.